This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Different for us. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps, everybody. Jeff Phelps here. Andy Baskin over there. And joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, big-time NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He is Charles Robinson, who happens to be close personal friend of Menigan. At least that's what Menigan says, and keeps talking about having to buy Charles beer and everything else. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing well.
They're
how about
jerks,
you?
Charles. Be mean to them.
Charles, first of all, before we even get into this, what breaking news do you have for us now? Because every time we talk to you, you have something gigantic. Then you send the city going crazy, trying to figure out what you're trying to say. Just give us the breaking news right out of the gate so we can react and have fun for the next 15 minutes.
I think Andrew Berry already broke the biggest news, biggest news of the day. I was stunned. How about the timing? The timing of Eden Ruth Berry coming into this world. Congratulations to Andrew, that's awesome, and his wife. I wish I could tell you what was going to happen tonight, but I don't think teams in the top 10 know what's going to happen, and that affects, obviously, the back end of the draft. So I think everybody's just going to have to buckle up for this one.
Must see.
I agree. I'm anxious for it, and I think if you're a Browns fan, you're in uncharted waters here, Charles. What do you do? If you're Andrew Berry, what do you do heading into this draft?
Well, you know, they have their board. I think you kind of see the unknown that kind of makes this interesting for them is if certain players start to move into certain spots and then guys start to fall. So I'll give you an example here. Like Caleb Farley, cornerback, everybody's talking about him. Like I think healthy would be like a top five pick. You know, maybe not top five, but probably certainly a top 10 pick. He's got some back issues that have occurred. You talk to different teams. Some teams think the medical's great. Other teams think the medical's, you know, put him on the sub board. We're not going to take him unless, you know, he's there in the third round kind of a situation. You're sitting there at the Brown, you know, with the Browns, the bottom of the first round, and you're sitting there and you go, well, you know, could we take a guy and maybe stash him, you know, like let's say it's going to take a year to get him right. But, you know, this is also a talent that, you know, would have been a top, you know, 7-8 pick. You know, if he's fully healthy, do we take him and do we stash him? Like he would have been, I think, potentially the number one corner on the board. Then you start to ask that question if some of these guys, you know, slide. You know, Michigan's Quiddy Pay, say that kid slides a little bit. Then it's, do we start to package draft picks to move up and go get him? Not a great defensive, you know, the defensive line talent in this draft leaves something to be desired, but there are a few guys that, you know, I think can be difference makers. And so I think you just sit there and you go, like, where's the value? If it's not worth us trading up and we don't know that someone on our board is going to get to us, it's definitely a great year to trade back because, you know, you talk to teams, they're like, hey, next year's a great draft to accrue picks for. So I think you're going to see a lot of teams at the end of the first looking at potentially trading back, you know, but that's only going to happen if you start to see some players fall and, you know, you're going to have to entice some other teams to move up. The Saints are, you know, they're talking to everybody about potentially moving up, but I think they want to get one of the top, you know, two corners. And that might take, you know, getting inside the, you know, the top 13, 14 picks. I don't know how you do that from 28. So, again, it's not the sexy, you know, I know everybody wants to say, you know, who are we taking, who's the guy, and, you know, what should we be focusing on here. I think it'll be I would be surprised if it's not a defensive pick. I guess it depends on maybe how some of the wide receivers, you know, pan out in this round. But again, I will tell you, San Francisco at 3, Atlanta at 4, Cincinnati at 5 are enough of an unknown that you have teams filling out the rest of the top 10, and even going to the Eagles at 12, they're sitting there going, yeah, we don't really know. We don't know how this is going to work out, because this whole thing can get blown up if, say, somebody, you know, Atlanta takes Fields at 4, somebody moves to take Fields at 4, say Trey Lance really starts a slide, which I think is a possibility. I do think like Trey Lance could be a really surprising slide guy today. And when I say surprising, I'm saying like, you know, out of the top 10, you know, maybe further than that. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting one.
Charles, when you look at the Browns for a second, what do you think they value here in this draft? Like, what, positionally, I mean, they got a lot invested into the opposite side of Myles Garrett on end by bringing in Tack McKinley and by bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. And, I mean, as you were researching that Clowney stuff that was coming in that you were all over, I'm just curious, you know, do you think the Browns feel like they need to do more at the end? Like, I think a lot of people think they're going to draft an end tonight based on the contracts that you're sitting at. So, you know, what do they value, and do you think they want to put more into that opposite side of Myles Garrett?
I think they would, you know, if, again, it depends, you know, if the right player, you know, gets there for them. And again, I think the design of the guys that they picked up on one-year contracts, the hope is that at least one of those guys works out, you know, and you want to extend them. And so you're sort of sitting there saying, well, hey, maybe we're going to address having a starting D-end, excuse me, beyond 2021, because we'll have signed the guy on the sort of one-year prove-it deal, and it'll pan out. It's great because, those, as you said, you know, Tack and Jadeveon Clowney are both young. There's still guys that I think could have a second wind, you know, or at least for Tack in particular. I guess it would be a third win, considering, you know, he's been through a couple teams now. But, you know, I think what you said, when you say what do they value, I think they value value. Like, they've had a good enough offseason, they've padded enough positions that I feel like, you know, and then, you know, you talk about getting Grant Delpit back from injury. I think they feel like the team is shaped up enough that they're not sitting there going, well, we really have to reach for a need at this point, or, you know, we have to make this big move for this one player. I think they just want to get a starting level contributing player, you know, in the first round with that pick. And if that means they have to move up, you know, they'll be willing to do that, but not at the cost of, you know, gutting the rest of a draft class that, you know, can be beneficial down the line in terms of just lining the depth chart. And I cannot underscore, a number of teams have said to me, you know, hey, we really would love to accrue draft picks next year, because they really like, you know, this is a big quarterback draft, but it's a little weaker, particularly on the defensive line. You know, there's a few areas that, you know, teams definitely see the strength a year from now. And I would think that, I know the Browns fans don't want to hear this, I mean, there's a chance that they move out of first if they can get someone who wants to come up and, you know, grab a quarterback and get that fifth year, you know, option on a quarterback.
You sound like Menigan. That's exactly what Menigan has said about this. What do you make of this, Charles? And Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us. 49ers are sitting at third. Quarterback is on the way to them. The Broncos are sitting at 9. They just picked up Teddy Bridgewater. Does that mean they don't take a quarterback? And you have Bill Belichick supposedly talking to the Niners about Jimmy Garoppolo and redoing a contract. But yet, if Trey Lance slides, the Patriots are sitting there at 15 with options to maybe move up if they want. How does this all settle down and pan out?
I've been saying I think it's Mac Jones at 3, you know, for the Niners. It's a little unsettling to me that we're to this point, and I feel like I'm not so much concerned about the analysts, but when you talk to other NFL teams, you know, particularly in that top 10 that put some resources and sort of shaping up, you know, they have their own sources, you know, particularly inside schools and then the agent community. And, you know, they use what they need to use to figure out what other teams are taking. And I don't think any teams are assured that, you know, I kind of know what's going on inside the 49. You know, look, Adam Peters and John Lynch really wanted to have an open mind about Trey Lance. It's Kyle Shanahan's pick. I know when they moved up, it really was the Mac Jones. Like, that was Kyle's guy, Mac Jones. But I also know that Kyle wanted to, once again, have an open mind, make sure he's, you know, he's back checking against every possibility. So they kind of went through the motions. I still think it's Mac Jones, but it is unsettling, like, to be to today. I felt like 3 days ago, I'm like, it's Mac Jones. I'm telling everybody, it's Mac Jones. It's going to be Mac Jones. It's always going to be Mac Jones. That hasn't changed. I thought I would have the definitive, like, hey, it's, you know, like, but it hasn't changed. The factors and everybody I've talked to that led me to think that 3 days ago, it's still there today, but I'm still feel like I'm like, man, I want something a little more definitive than this. I do. One thing that has come up is Trey Lance. I don't think people appreciate a lot of teams like Trey Lance's upside, but there is definitely a lot of caution about him, about the totality of his career, the functionality of how much he has to run to play at his best. The fact he played one game last year against Central Arkansas, spent a lot of the game trying to show NFL teams that he could stay in the pocket, struggled for the vast majority of that portion of the game. And then when he kind of went back to sort of running and playmaking and some of those things that made him so successful in you know, 2019, his game went back to, you know, you sort of saw, okay, that's the guy. That's right. That's the guy we expected. Well, that also told teams some things. He tried to show us, hey, I can be this thing. And he really couldn't in that one game, you know, but how much stock do you put in that? If you got to redshirt him for a year, say you bring him in, you got to redshirt him for a year. You're talking about a player who almost hasn't played a game like 3 years. So I think to me, you know, Lance at 9 with the Broncos, you know, with the Bears after that, with the Patriots after that, I don't know, man. I think all these teams are looking at him going, he's not quite as ready. You know, I don't know who's saying like he's ready to roll out on the field. And then like pointing at like Josh Allen and that experience, I think people are like, everybody I've talked to is like, look, it's not the same experience. It's not even remotely the same player. And, you know, there's too many like Josh Allen, Trey Lance comparisons and teams don't really like it. So I would say that's kind of what's the unknown here. The Patriots want Garoppolo. They've wanted Garoppolo. It's they've been like this all along. The problem was the 49ers didn't have a realistic asking price. And the Patriots are just like, look, we'll get to that when, you know, it's going to happen when we get close to the draft. You're going to take a quarterback. And this whole idea that you want a first round for Jimmy Garoppolo is just ridiculous. And it's not going to happen. So we'll get to that. And, oh, by the way, to even, you know, facilitate onboarding Jimmy Garoppolo, we got to talk to him about his contract and adjust, you know, what the structure and the numbers are in his contract. So, you know, the Broncos, I would say George Payton, the general manager there, first year, and I think he's a risk-averse guy. And I think going and getting Teddy Bridgewater kind of shows you that, you know, he's taking a more sort of risk-averse approach, at least that first year with quarterback, rather than taking the big swing and potentially making a mistake.
All right, so let me get this straight, just basically listening. Garoppolo ends up with the Patriots. You believe this?
I think so, yes.
And how soon does that happen?
I think we could see it, you know, right – either right on the verge of the draft starting or, you know, it's by the end of the day, you know, just that it's something that they're right now, the Patriots are just trying to make sure that the contract numbers are right. I mean, I think he's like somewhere in the $25 million off the top of my head, like $25 million this year. I don't think the Patriots are big on that number. And there's a thing too, like he's got a no trade clause. So the options are a little more limited with the 49ers, like in terms of where they could, you know, send him. Gotcha. But I, you know, he definitely would waive that to go to New England, but I think they're just trying to figure out, you know, the numbers are right. I don't think the Broncos address quarterback at 9. I think they stand pat with what they have. I think Patriots get Garoppolo and that resolves that. And that's kind of why I'm like, well, you know, Trey Lance, there could be a slide there because, you know, the Bears, I don't think everybody inside the Bears is a huge Trey Lance fan, and I would say that there are definitely people inside the Bears who feel like he needs to take a year off, like in terms of like he needs the red shirt year. And you know, you got Andy Dalton there, so I guess that's still a possibility. But I just don't, unless there's some lying going on. I mean, I just don't see the overwhelming like, yeah, we, you know, huge Trey Lance fans there. So I think there's a chance that if Trey Lance does get taken at three, he's going to slide a little bit. He's not going to Carolina. That's not going to happen. Like Carolina, the way that they've kind of stacked up their assessments on quarterbacks, I think they definitely like Justin Fields ahead of Trey Lance. And frankly, I think there are a number of teams that like Justin Fields more than Trey Lance.
Charles Robinson joining us, Yahoo Sports. Sum it up for us. The Browns at 26 go offense, defense, trade up, trade down.
I think they stand pat, and I think they go defense. I would say if a defensive end slides, I think that definitely could be the pick. I think, you know, corner, there's a corner there. There could be a depth pick at you know, corner. I just don't see them, you know, packaging picks to move up unless, you know, again, like say Kwity Paye really. If I could see if Kwity Paye got to like 17, 18, 19, you know, they would potentially look at moving up for him. I'll be surprised if Kwity Paye falls that far. I think they stand pat and address the defense with another, you know, defensive pick. Offensively, they'll add a wide receiver at some point in this draft. I don't know that if that's the first round pick. I think you're going to see some offensive line depth picks at some point, probably, you know, second, third, fourth, somewhere in the middle. They're going to add to the offensive line. But I don't know that there will be, you know, a ton of fireworks from the Browns unless they really see the value of it. If they move, that's great because that means that they really – there's somebody that they know can be a key cog, you know, and they want to spend the draft capital to go and get them. I just don't know that, you know, that's a guarantee at this point. I hate repeating this, but I'm telling you this is the least certain draft I've seen. It's not even like last year because – there was a lot of work that had already gone into last year that was not affected, you know, by COVID or there was a combine, the medicals are crazy this year. You know, and then there's like red flags, you know, the Jalen Phillips kid, out of Miami defensive end, you know, there's a lot of red teams have a lot of red flags on him. It's just a really unknown. It's a good one to be in Cleveland, I feel like, because I think there's going to be a lot of like, whoa, kind of things that happen in this draft. And so it'll be a good, I think it'll be a good stage for Cleveland.
Awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.